this morning, I want to just share with you a little bit of some things that God put on my heart. And you know, God, I don't know if God is prepping us for what's to come, or He has a sense of humor. I haven't quite figured all that out yet. But last week, the Lord began to deal with my heart just about dealing with the spirit of confusion. You know, just I'm talking to so many people that are dealing with a spirit of confusion. I want to understand there's things that are confusing, but there's a spirit of confusion. And those are two different things. So as I began to pray into this and begin to look into it, the Lord really talked to me about not dealing with the negative part of the spirit of confusion, but dealing with the alternative. And that is that God brings a spirit of peace in our life. Amen. And so we should live from a place of peace. Now, this week has been a crazy week, to say the least, for myself and for some of you. And it's been an interesting week. And I thought, Lord, this is of all weeks. And then get the phone call this morning about our equipment being stolen. To get that, it's like, okay, God, we're going to just break the stronghold of the enemy. All right? So before I ever get started today, I want you to know that we have power and we have authority over the enemy. The scripture tells us very clearly that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I want you to declare that over your life this morning. I want you to declare over your mind before I ever begin this message today that I am going to open my heart and open my mind to receive what God is speaking today, because I am declaring over my life that the enemy does not have permission or authority to be involved in my life. If you're born again today, raise your hand. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, I want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. John hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to raise your hand if you've been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. You're a lover of God. You have authority over the enemy. I want you to hear that. You have authority over the enemy. I want you to just tell the enemy in your spirit right now to get out of my life, that this doesn't belong to you, and you have no authority here. I want to declare that this morning. I want to declare that this morning. I'm just really in a great mood this morning to teach to you today. There's a difference between when the enemy comes in and he puts a thought in our mind. We're all going to be tempted by the enemy. There's going to be temptations that are come. Do never confuse temptations that you fall and pray to the enemy because you had a temptation. There's oftentimes people quit and surrender because temptations come and they feel like, oh, I'm not where I need to be. Listen, when you are on your greatest game, the enemy comes in. The enemy is not, we always talk about the attack of the enemy, and I do believe that there's spiritual warfare and there is the attack of the enemy. But let me help you understand something. When you're progressing and you're moving forward in your relationship with God and you're pushing into the enemy's territory, some of what you experience is not an attack of the enemy, but a defense of the enemy, because you're on the offensive and he feels threatened. Do you understand that? So sometimes we're making ground when we feel like the enemy is attacking us. In actuality, we're attacking him. You don't go to a fight without having some little thing inside of you that says there's a fight going on, whether you're the aggressor or you're the one on the other end. I've been in many fights. And all of those things, there is this thought of like there's a war going on. But I want you to know I am the aggressor in this game. The Lord has been to hell already. He went and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He's not afraid of hell, and neither should we be afraid of hell. I'm preaching really good this morning. And we're going to go take back what the enemy has stolen from us. And what the enemy oftentimes steals from us is not because he has the capability of coming to where we are and taking from us. We talk about the enemy stealing. A lot of it comes from surrender, because we give in to the attack of the enemy. So we really surrendered some things to the enemy that we should not have surrendered, because of fear, because of situations in our life or whatever. But I say and I declare over this house today that we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. We're going to take back our marriages. The enemy cannot have our marriages. We're going to take back our children, but the enemy cannot have our children. We're going to have a school year this year that's going to be powerful, where our kids are going to be impacted by the power of the Holy Ghost. And wherever they go, public school, homeschool, private school, wherever it is that they're going to school, this is going to be a season of their life that we're going to pour into them, and we're going to see the glory of God in their life. I'm declaring these things in the Spirit today. I'm declaring them in the Spirit. I'm declaring in the Spirit. So I want you to take back. I want you to take back. This week, I want it to be a week of prayer that we go into the enemy's camp and we take back what's been stolen from us. Now, here's your homework. I want you to write down some things during the message today that you're going to say, the enemy, you're not going to have this in my life. You're not going to have these things in my life. Let's start with this. You're not going to have my mind. My mind belongs to the Lord. You're not going to have my heart. My heart belongs to the Lord. You're not going to have my spirit. My spirit is invaded by the Holy Spirit, and you cannot have my human spirit because my spirit is connected with His spirit.
Say it.
I am a child of God.
Yes.
I am a child of God. I am not an orphan. Come on, are you hearing these declarations today? I'm not an orphan. I'm not a beggar. I am living in royalty. I have royal blood in my veins. Come on. And nothing can stand against me. Now I want to speak to sin today. We have to tell sin to get out of our life too. I think oftentimes we want to just kind of live our lives. This is not my message. I may get to it or I may not. We want to live our lives just kind of playing the field. But let me tell you something this morning. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You can't love God with one foot in and love the world with the other foot. You got to get in or get out or get run over. It's truth. Now, look, I believe in grace. There's nobody believes in grace more than I do. I need a lot of grace, so I believe in grace. Can I get a better amen? How many believe in grace? If you don't believe in grace, you probably need some. So let me give you some today. I believe in grace, but let me tell you something. Grace is not a ticket for a sinful lifestyle. If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and we do sin, but we're not sinners. And there's a difference between having a weakness in your life and living wicked. There's a difference between being a born-again child of God and being a Christian and coming to church. And just because you come to church doesn't mean that everything in your life is supposed to be good. But when I give my heart to the Lord, and my heart is not divided, next Sunday, if I get through this message today, next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on a double-minded man or woman, just in case you think it's all men. It's kind of funny. We think Jezebel's a woman, a double mind's a man. Ooh, Lord, I'm in it today. And so we're going to be speaking about some of these battlefields of the mind and things that go on in our mind. So I'm setting a table here for you today. We're not going to let the devil have his way.
Come on.
We're standing up and we're believing. How many in here today believe what I just said? How these declarations I just made? I want you to stand with me this morning, and I want you to grab somebody by the hand. And I want you to, we're going to declare over this house today all the things that I've just spoken about. Yep. The Bible says if two or three agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. It didn't say it might be done or it could be done or you'll stumble over it. It said it shall be done. If your declaration is before the Lord and what I have just spoken is His word, that's not my words. And so we're going to declare His word and this spoken word over our lives today. And we're going to prepare our minds for what God's going to speak to us. Are you ready? Father, we just love you today. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have conquered death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Lord, that you are our salvation and our hope. Thank you, Lord, that you're our peace in the middle of the storm, God. And Lord, we declare over our lives today the goodness of God, the grace of God, the peace of God. And we say to those things that are destructive, that are trying to enter into our lives, get out in the name of Jesus. Get out in the name of Jesus. And we declare over us today that no weapon, not a single weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that we shall live to be the head and not the tail. Come on. We shall be blessed and not cursed. We shall grow and we shall not faint. We shall run and not get weary. We shall live our lives above and not beneath. And so, Lord, I just pray for blessings over this house and over your people today. I pray for prosperity over your people today. I break off every generational curse today. And I believe for the fullness and the peace of God in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. Sermon number one. So when we say the word peace, what comes to our mind? We think oftentimes that we refer to peace as being the opposite of chaos. And I want to help you this morning because we can get really confused that when we're seeking for peace and there's a storm going on, we feel like, well, God has abandoned us or there's situations. But let me help you today. So when we think of peace, or we may say a place of peace is meaning a quiet or relaxing place. How many know that you can be in a quiet, relaxing place and still not have peace? Can I get a better amen? Amen. And so in our Western definition, peace is the absence of conflict or war. But is it possible to live in a place of peace when the world around you is upside down? Come on, is it possible that we can live in a heart of peace when the world is going crazy around us? I spoke to someone last night, and I said, I think the world has gone crazy. I think the world has lost its mind. I you know what? I look sometimes on the media, Instagram, and social media, and TV, and I think, what in the world are we living in? I'm only 54, almost 55, and the world has changed so drastically in 55 years from my childhood, you know. And we don't want our kids to ride their bikes down the street today because they might end up missing. We have all of this stuff that's fear around us, and it's the attack of the enemy, and people just totally confused by even who they are. Who they are. And we look at our senators and representatives and our government officials, and they don't know who they are. And we look to everywhere we look, there's people confused around us. And we think, my God, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. And we let that affect our lives. But I just want to establish today that we're in this world. Come on, men and women of God. But we're not of this world. And so we can't let this world affect who we are. Anybody here today? And so there's going to be chaos in the world. The Bible says that in the end time, when the Lord's coming back, that there's going to be more trouble. So if you're saying, oh, Lord, I don't want trouble, well, get ready. There's going to be more. But in the midst of the trouble, look up, church, because the church gets to be the shining light in the darkness. The church gets to be the beacon on the hill. And so we have to live in a spirit of peace when the world is in a spirit of chaos. Amen? So the Hebrew word for peace, it means so much more. It is the shalom of God, which means to have an inward sense of completeness and wholeness. Completeness and wholeness. It is the shalom of God that gives us an inner peace in the midst of the storm. Are you with me this morning? Back row, are you with me this morning? It's the shalom of God that gives us this inner sense of completeness. You know why I'm made complete? Not because I've managed to get everything together in my life. I'm made complete because of the cross and Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? That's what gives me peace. That's what gives me peace in my chaos. That's what gives me peace. In the middle, and the shalom means to have health and peace and welfare and safety and soundness, tranquility and prosperity and fullness and rest and harmony. It's the absence of agitation and discord. I'm going to give you some, I want you to recognize some things in your life. The one thing that Jesus said he hates a spirit of division. He hates a person who brings division. When you're walking in the Spirit, you need to learn how to recognize when a spirit of division comes in. when a spirit comes in to divide your household, to divide your mind, to divide, that's where it begins, by the way, divide your mind first. And then it divides your household, or it divides your church group, or it divides your unity among those that you work with, or what God has put together. The scripture says, let no man put asunder. Don't let the enemy come in and begin to invade and then end up in a train wreck because you didn't recognize that spirit of confusion trying to come in. You meet it at the door and say, spirit of confusion, I will not allow you in my life. So what does that mean? So that all of a sudden there's peace and safety and everything goes away? No, it can still be crazy, but I'm going to live in peace because I have the shalom of God. I have the peace of God in my life. And so let the world be in chaos, but I'm going to be in peace. I just want to help you today because I'm going to address some things today because there's somebody said we've been missing pastor preaching, so I'm back. So I'm going to address some things today. There's marriages in this church, and I'm not just talking about the ones that are presently separated. I'm talking about there's marriages in this church. You've been living together for 10 years, 20 years, and 30 years, and there's not peace in your home. Let me tell you why there's not peace in your home. It's because you're not listening to the voice of God. You're not listening to the heart of God. You're listening to the chaos that's coming from another world. You're listening. Now, I'm not telling you that you won't have any arguments. Matter of fact, I read something just this morning. It said if a couple's not arguing, they're probably not in love. And I have to tend to agree with that just a little bit. If they're just walking in numbness and never argue, they're probably already separated and don't know it. Because if you're going to be with two people, there's going to be some arguments and there's going to be some conflict. But that conflict don't have to be war. You don't have to. You can have disagreement without hating and hurting and killing and warring against one another. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching pretty good this morning. I need you to listen to me. Your kids, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, young mom with teenage kids. These kids are going to drive you crazy, not because they're bad kids, but because they're kids. Well, we can't let the spirit of chaos come in our household. So the only thing that's going to help, I'm not just talking about you two, I'm talking about mine too, okay, by the way. And you can't let a spirit of chaos come into our household. We've got to say, this is going to be a house of peace. We're going to have the shalom of God in our house. We're going to have the peace of God in our house. And so we're going to declare over our home, chaos, you have to go. Distractions, you got to go. And we're going to have harmony in this house. We're going to have harmony in this house. So we have to be at war with the spirit. But listen, when I say be at war, let me give you a little help. You're already on the winning team. You're already on the winning team, so there's no reason to go to war and feel defeated because you have already won. If you've given your life to Christ, you have won the battle because he does the work. Anybody here today? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Are y'all in a hurry? All right, good. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, and I'm reading to you today. How many of the Lord himself, now may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you his peace. Oh, you got to do that. May he pour into you his peace. I wish I had a big bucket of water right now. Pour into you his peace. Let's make a funnel. Come on, Lord. Pour it in right here. Pour it. Pour it. Pour into you his peace in every circumstance and in every possible way. So what does that word tell me? The circumstance has nothing to do with the peace. Oh, but Pastor, you don't... Oh, I've heard this so many times. I'm going to be a little cynical here. But Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. No, because you're the only one that's ever gone through that. You're the only one that's ever had a problem. You're the only one that's had chaos in your life. You're the only one that's had a train wreck. You're the only one. Let me tell you something. Stop whining and stop throwing a pity party and stop inviting the devil into your chaos so that he has more of you by your whining and your complaining. Start rejoicing. God, you are good. And your mercy is everlasting. And your truth never fails. You're the shalom, the peace of God in my life. And I refuse to allow the chaos around me to affect me. So in this circumstance, Lord, pour your peace into me. I'm not going to tell you any lies this morning. I'm going to tell you the truth. When my wife texted me this morning and said the guitars are missing out of the church, I got mad. Because there's two things I don't like. Well, there's a lot of things I don't like, but these are probably the top two. A liar and a thief. Might need to preach on that one day. A liar and a thief. And so I got mad. And then I said, okay, God, I'm going to go preach on the shalom of God today. Can you please give me some? Please help me out, Lord. Please, Lord, in every circumstance and in every situation. Come on. Monday morning, I'm driving down the road. I had a couple of early morning meetings, and I got a text that said, I'm sorry to hear about your friend Greg. I was like, what? What? Sorry about hearing about my friend. What? So I picked up the phone and called the person who texted me. I said, what are you talking about? They found your friend. I know y'all were very close. He was my best friend for 30-something years. They found your friend this morning with a massive heart attack. He's dead. 2 weeks ago, I talked to him. 3 weeks ago. He's been not where he needs to be with the Lord. Chaos going in his life. Marriage busted up. Situations going on. I said, God, I'm preaching this week on the shalom of God. All week long, God, I need your presence. I need your presence. I need your presence, God. The enemy, I don't believe the enemy is having these two events in my life because I'm preaching on this. He ain't got that much power. I'm just saying these two events happened in my life because you know what? The world's still going to happen when you're doing the right. Life is going to happen. You're going to wake up tomorrow and life is going to happen. Things are going to happen. You cannot let the things around you interrupt your peace. Because my peace is not in this world. I'm of another world. Anybody with me this morning? Am I helping anybody? If I'm helping you, shout amen.
Amen.
Come on. Thank you. I like one good amen over here. There's nothing that compare or replace. Let me finish reading that scripture. The Lord's tangible presence will be with you all. So somebody said, that's me. He didn't say, well, man, I'm just going to pour my spirit out on Michelle because she's the leader of the prayer and she pray. I'm just going to be with her. But I'm not going to be with John. Because, you know, John, he sometimes is a knucklehead. So I'm choosing who I'm going to be with. God said, I'm going to be with you all, every one of you. Come on, say that belongs to me. That's my promise. That's my gift. We're all children of God. Y'all with me this morning? All right. There's nothing that can compare or replace the presence of God. We can and should live 24/7 in his presence. Yes. And it's in his presence that we find the joy for this journey. Yes. I'm going to tell you something. This journey is not going to always be like we think it ought to be. But when we live from the abundance and from the presence of God, we can find joy in the journey. We can find joy in the trouble. We can find joy in the sorrow. We can find joy in the chaos. Because my hope is in the Lord. And so many people try substitutes with drugs and alcohol and sex and food and all kinds of pleasures of this world to temporary fix what they cannot fix themselves. How many has ever heard pastor tell you this? You can't fix that. Anybody ever been in a counseling session with me? If you've ever been in a counseling session with me, I could tell you, you need to work on yourself, but you can't fix it without the Lord. I can't do this. I can't pastor this church. I can't be a husband. I can't be a father. I can't even be a good person without the help of the Lord. Paul said there's no good thing inside of me except for him. My peace comes from him. My hope comes from him. You can't fix it, but you can get with the one who does. So how do we live in peace? I love Isaiah reading from the Amplified. He said, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both the inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you and leans on you and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord and commit yourself to him and lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock." He's a rock of all ages. Come on, I'm just going to lean into God. I'm going to lean into God. I'm just going to just stand right there. I'm just going to lean into God. Don't you drop me. I'm going to lean into God. I'm going to rest in you. Well, there's chaos. Yes, but I'm just leaning in. Who's got me? I can't do this. I wish I was 100 pounds lighter. I'd let you carry me. Don't do it. I just lean into God. I'm going to rest in God. I'm going to find my hope in God. I'll go to sleep right here. Find my peace in God. No, I'm going to get over here. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to get that. I'm going to take the bill. Chaos. Pull my hair out. Fix all the problems. This is a whole lot easier. You got that, Lord. It's yours, God. And I'm preaching from a guy who's a fixer. Can you say amen to that, Angela? Can you say that? Heather told me one time, "Dad, I don't want you to fix it. Just listen. Just listen. I want to fix it. I want to fix your problems. You bring me your problem, I want to fix your problem. You know what? I can't fix your problem. I'm not God. You can't find somebody on this earth to fix your problem. But you know what you can do? You can lean into God. Whew. So I'm telling you how to have peace when the storm is raging. I'm leaned in. I'm finding comfort in him. Does that mean the storm immediately dies? No. But I'm finding joy for my journey. 1 Corinthians 2. "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of the age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." "These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of the person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in the word, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept these things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. And the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understand understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Like the apostles of old, we cannot be led by worldly wisdom of man. And we're called to be led by the Holy Spirit that brings revelation and the wisdom of God. It brings revelation and the wisdom of God. Now, we have in this church counseling. We have sozos. We believe in that stuff. We believe that there are times for counseling, and there's time for sozo, and there's time for inner healing, and there's time for these things. But let me tell you something. Let me share with you about sozo. Our sozo counselors lead people by the work of the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. It's not because we have great wisdom. It's because God has great wisdom. Anything apart from the wisdom of God is just opinion. Now, I'm not saying that those opinions don't have experiences and can help you. So don't say, well, bless God, I'm too good for counseling. I'm a Holy Spirit-led person. Sometimes you need to be knocked upside the head with some truth. But you have to understand that your wisdom and understanding and knowledge comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And apart from that, you just have man's opinion. Oh. If that doesn't line up with this and line up with that, then you might need to check that at the door. Because this, his word and his spirit, is going to bring life to your life. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning. Even the scripture tells us that the letter, the word of God, the law of God killeth, but the spirit brings life. So you can have religious knowledge, not have spirit, and live in chaos. Well, I know the Bible. Well, then why is your life hell on earth? Because you're not walking in the spirit of God. Oh, God, quiet all of a sudden. Where'd all the amens go? Because you're not walking in the Spirit of God. The law of God, in and of itself, will destroy you. But the Spirit of God takes the law and the purpose and the Word of God. It brings life to it, which brings application, which brings understanding, which brings wisdom, which brings peace. And so when chaos comes to your door, what do you need more than anything? You need to just stop and have a little praise break. Amen. Woo, come on, thank you, God, for the chaos. Well, that sounds completely crazy. Well, in everything, give thanks. In every circumstance, look to the Lord. In every situation, open your heart for the peace and the shalom of God to come and invade that situation. So I seek out the wisdom of God and not just the wisdom of man. Now, granted, I don't want you to get out here and say, no, Pastor, don't believe. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. I have people in my life I take counsel with. I have elders in my life that I take counsel with. I'm preaching so good, I'm just going to keep preaching. I have people in my life for different things. My father-in-law is here today. I don't run to my father-in-law with everything, but if there's things that he has experience in, and he's my dad, I married his daughter, so he's my dad, I go take counsel with him, because in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. And my mother-in-law, by the way, I don't just take counsel from men. We enjoy sharing the word of God together. And she's right now taking mental notes, and we're going to talk about this later. I feel very certain, because she is a great communicator of the word. No, I'm bragging on you, Mimi. I take counsel with my wife because she brings wisdom to my life. I take counsel with my elders. But I'm going to tell you something. They're human. And I got to have a quickening of the Spirit of God
in my life and obedience to the Spirit, because I have to know this is what the Lord is saying and this is what the Spirit of God is saying. And when I take counsel with Him, He brings peace in my life. Amen. Anybody with me this morning? See a lot of note taking. Praise the Lord. Well, I got a lot more to preach, though. 10:33. Let me see if we need to make part two. No, I think I can do it. So as we learn to walk in the Spirit, knowing that we're children of God, we're not orphans, we're children of God. We're led by the love and by His wisdom, giving us the advantage over the storms of life. Say, I have the advantage. We know that God is the God of peace and that He is not the author of confusion. Somebody say, I know that God is the God of peace. So if I hear voices that are confusion, where's it coming from? It ain't God. It's either this world or the enemy. It's the spirit of the world or it's hell coming against me. Discernment. We have to discern what is God and what is not God. Some people have asked me before, come to me and said, Pastor, what should I do? I said, do you have peace about that? No. Well, then don't do it. Follow peace. I had someone ask me last week, and it's okay for you to ask me. I'm not bothered by you asking. Somebody said last week, Pastor, when are we going to start the remodel on the church? When I get peace about it. I'm going to follow peace. Because there's been times in my life where I just went to the bank, borrowed the money, and got her done because I'm a fixer. But I'm going to follow peace. And when the Holy Spirit says now is the time, or this is the avenue, then I'm going to follow peace. You know what? I love y'all, but I don't have to answer to y'all. I got to answer to Him. And y'all would all love to have a big old facility with a new thing until I said we have a big old bill to go with it. Come on. So I got to follow peace and obey obedience to the Lord. Anybody with me today? All right. Because you know what? I found out a long time ago. This is just an example. That this right here does not determine the spiritual level or the outreach of this house. Do we need more space? Yes, we do. But God will give us peace. And that's just an example. I could give you a bunch more. We're going to follow peace. We're going to follow peace. All right, you with me this morning? So here we go. Number one, the mind of Christ. So we look in 1 Corinthians 2. So the mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast with the wisdom of man. Write that down. The mind of Christ stands in sharp contrast with the wisdom of man. Number two, the mind of Christ brings godly wisdom that was hidden but now revealed. Oh man, y'all didn't get that. The mind of Christ brings godly wisdom that was hidden but now revealed. You want to stop wondering all these things? Oh, I just want the mind of Christ brings godly wisdom that was once hidden but now revealed. You want revelation in your life of what God has for your life? Look to Him. The mind of Christ, number three, the mind of Christ is received through our dependence upon Him. Lean not to your own understanding, but look to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Number four. As we learn to walk in the Spirit, having the mind of Christ, He gives us discernment in spiritual matters to walk in peace no matter what is going on around us. Angela, you can come. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 5. If you bow low in God's awesome presence, He will eventually exalt you as you leave. Sorry. The timing, if you leave the timing in His hands. Pour out your worries and stress upon Him and leave them there. Let's stop right there. I want you to take all your worries, all your stresses right now. Come on, close your eyes. I want you to take all the worries of your life. Take all the stress of your life. And I want you to come put it at the altar right now. Here it is, God. Come on, do that right now. All my worries, all my stress, I leave at the cross. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion looking for prey to devour.
take a divisive stand against him. Resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of trouble you endure. You're not in this alone. And then after your brief suffering, the God of all loving grace, who has called you to share in his eternal glory in Christ, will personally and powerfully restore you and make you stronger than ever. Yes, he will set you firmly in a place and build you up. And he has all the power needed to do this forever and amen.
Hallelujah.
So here's your guarantee. You're going to walk through trouble sometimes, and they're going to hurt. But stay strong in the Lord, because on the other side, he's going to restore back to you. And it's going to be better. Come on, I'm speaking over somebody right now. It's going to be better than ever. I'm telling my mind today, I'm bringing you under authority of the Spirit. I'm not going to let my pain, my suffering, and what I'm going through right now determine my victory for the better and ever that's on the way. So we speak to the spirit of confusion and every lie of the enemy. We are who God says we are, and nothing shall overtake us. Stand with me. Proverbs 12:20. Deception fills the hearts of those who plot harm. But those who plan for peace, those who plan, everybody say plan, for peace are filled with joy. Those who plan for peace are filled with joy. Calamity is not allowed to overwhelm the righteous, but there's nothing but trouble waiting for the wicked. That's a good reason to live for God right there. Peace overwhelms the righteous. But the wicked forever suffer. Discern. Don't look over there and see somebody that's wicked and they're prospering and saying, well, look at them. No. Their day's coming. Don't get confused. I got my eyes on you, Lord. It may not be everything I want right now. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want to speak to something right now. Holy Spirit just dropped to me. You know, some of y'all still continue to live in poverty. Now, I'm not talking about just a lack of money, but a poverty spirit, like woe is me. And it's simply because you got your eyes and you're comparing, which the Bible says do not do. You're comparing your life with somebody else's life, the highlight reels on Facebook. You're repairing your life with someone else's life, their money, their fake joy, their, and you're saying, oh God, look at me, I'm just a pitiful me, and God doesn't love me like he does them. That's, you need to discern that that's a lie, and that you're a child of God, and that poverty spirit keeps you in a turmoil. And it allows decrease in your life instead of increase in your life. I want increase in my life. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about health and happiness and joy and peace. Money's included, by the way. So let's just quit believing the lies of the enemy. Last thing I want to say to you. When people do you wrong, and you get vengeance in your heart, you know what happens when you do that? You welcome the spirit of chaos in your life. Because God is not the God of vengeance. He's the God of peace. He will avenge for you, but he doesn't need you to do it. So when you have the God of peace in your life, you release people out of your life who do you wrong. I release them. I speak the shalom of God over them. I bless them. Somebody came to me years ago and said, I can't stand my boss. I hate every day I go to work. I said, why don't you start praying for him? And if you really don't like him, don't want to be there, pray that God give him a raise and give him a promotion and move him to another place. Don't curse him. Because when you curse him, you curse you. God bless him. Give him increase and favor in his life and move him to Timbuktu in Jesus' name. Are you understanding what I'm preaching this morning? Come on, Jesus. Don't you bow your heads. Come on, I feel the Holy Spirit in this place big time today. Worship band, you can come.